thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. It's so good that you're here. We had a good Sunday school and good worship attendance, and we appreciate you coming out. Last night we didn't know how slick it'd be, but we're glad you're here. Let me mention a couple of things. If you look in that financial report, you did really, really well for the Baptist Children's Home. It's a great offering from a church this size for the Baptist Children's Home. And so feel good about that. And praise the Lord. And I know they appreciate it. There's kids that need our help. So thank you. Then again, let me just remind you, I don't usually mention about the announcements in the bulletin, but be sure and come at 10 o'clock or a few minutes before on the 24th. How the time change, occasionally people show up as everybody's leaving. Please come at... So on the 24th, please come at 10 if you usually come just to the worship service so that you won't miss most of what we're doing that day. And then especially try to be here on the 7th for Marty Dupree. I've never heard him speak, but just what he challenged me and inspired me and made me want to be a better Christian, minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'll be here and you'll get to hear him speak three different times during the day. So we look forward to that. This morning I want you to sort of face a question. And it's one that we face not one time, but we have to continue to face through our lives. Is our Christianity a ritual, or is it a relationship? Now you see, a ritual can become routine, dull, boring, deadly. A relationship is life, exciting, amazing walk with God. Now, in a ritual, you'll go to church, you'll give, you'll pray, you'll do some other Christian things, and at the end of the week, you'll sort of mentally do a checklist and say, you know, I was a pretty good Christian this week. In a relationship, you do many of the same things. You go to church, you give, you do ministry. But at the end of the week, you say to yourself, I've had an awesome walk with God this week. It's all the difference in the world. And you know, when we grow up as kids and we're taught Christianity is what you do and don't do and do and don't do, and then all of a sudden we get off to high school and college and all the rules we've been given don't fit every situation. And many times we see young people drop out of the church. When we just go through the ritual year after year after year, even we as older folks can drop out. But when you have an amazing relationship with God, it doesn't matter what our age, we just want to keep serving the Lord. We just want to keep walking with God. So I ask yourself the question, are you in a ritual or in a relationship? Let's look at a part of the Christmas story in Luke 2, and maybe in looking at this, it'll help you to understand a little bit more about it. Not the traditional verses 1 through 20, but go to verse 21 of Luke 2, verse 21. When the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Here it is, Jesus is 8 days old. According to the rules, the laws of God that he had given them back in the days of Moses, he's to be presented to the Lord, he's to be circumcised, and a sacrifice is to be made. Now, if you were more wealthy, you might offer a lamb or a goat. Even if you're really rich, you might offer a bull. But for poorer folks, it was acceptable to offer what the Bible says, two doves or two pigeons. And these were to be offered as a sacrifice because the male children were to be holy to the Lord. And so, after Jesus is born, the shepherds have come, they've gone away, and now they come to the temple. Now think about who was there at the temple that day. First, there was the crowds. Now you know how it is, even when we leave church this morning, we'll be getting crowded here in the aisle and crowded over here and maybe bumping elbows and excuse me and all that kind of thing. But how much will we really notice about one another? And if you get in a crowd like at Walmart or at a sports event, and sometimes you step back to let somebody walk past you, or somebody else steps back to let you walk past them, and you hardly notice one another. Think about it. There in the temple in Jerusalem that day, how many hundreds, maybe thousands of people? Going and coming, moving. How many of them brushed into Jesus and as he was carried by Joseph and Mary? How many of them rubbed elbows? How many stepped back, or how many watched Joseph step back as they went by? And I'm totally oblivious to this little baby that they carried that was the Son of God. Hundreds of people. And here the Son of God is in their midst and they miss it. But narrow it down. Here's a merchant who sold them the two birds that they need for the sacrifice. And he missed it. Just another customer. Just another little profit, just another little bit of extra money at the end of the day, and he missed it. Here, his customers are the Son of God and the parents, and he missed it. But think about it again. Narrow it down a little bit more. There was a priest and probably a Levite or two that took the doves, sacrificed the doves, did the circumcision, did everything that needed to be done, actually touched Jesus, and they missed it. Even to these religious people, just another baby, in a long list of babies that we've dealt with today and this week. Just another baby. Amazing how these folks going about their religious rituals missed the Son of God. but some folks didn't miss it. Go then to verse 25 of Luke 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of my people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Can you imagine being in a crowd of maybe 1,000 of people and being led to one baby? You see, that's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's walking with God. We don't know how old Simon was, but he was old enough, he could have already been dead. Because, you know, the scripture here says, God had told him, you're not going to die till you see the Messiah. You're going to live till you see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit led him that day to the temple, to that baby, which was Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Isn't it amazing? All of these other people missed it. But the Holy Spirit, because Simon was walking with God and was sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he brought him to the temple that day, to that mom and dad, to that baby. You see, that's the difference between those folks that were going through the ritual and those who are walking with God. Walking with God put them in the right place at the right time to be blessed. But Simeon wasn't the only one. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake unto him of all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, depending on which translation, some people say she'd been a widow 84 years, some say she was 84 years old. Doesn't matter. She was old. You know. She was up in years. As a friend of mine used to say, she'd seen a lot of frosty mornings. And I'm a lot closer to 84 myself than I was a lot of years ago. You know, but see, again, she was led by the Lord. She was walking with God. And again, she's led to all of the maybe 1,000 people. How many babies were there? I don't know. She was led to the very, very child that was the Messiah. Leading of the Lord, walking with God. What a difference it makes in our lives when we learn to walk with God every day of our lives. You know, our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, has an exciting life for you if we will learn to stay away from ritual and walk with Him. Now, we'll do the same things many times, going to church and giving and all of that, that a person does who walks with God. But when we walk with God, every day we get up and think, what are the Lord and I going to do today? Where are we going to go today? What's going to happen today? Now, that doesn't mean you don't plan. But you're sensitive to the leadership of the Lord to disrupt your plans. You know, in the gospel, several times Jesus, it says something along this line, Jesus was taking his disciples off so-and-so to spend some time alone. And the crowd saw which way he was going and they beat him to the spot. And Jesus had great compassion on them and taught them and healed everybody that was sick. You see, Jesus had plans, but the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, interrupted those plans to minister to people. You think of that great event in the life of the Apostle Paul, and he comes to a certain place in his ministry, and he says, I think we'll take the next missionary journey, and we're going to go here. Holy Spirit says to him, no, Paul, that isn't the direction to go. Paul backs up and, okay, I'll go here. Holy Spirit says, no. You see, Paul was trying to follow the Lord. He was making plans. Holy Spirit said no the second time. Then that night in a vision, the Holy Spirit gave him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul said, okay. I got you, Lord. And he moved on over to where God wanted him. It's okay to make plans, but to be led by the Lord sometimes disrupts our plans. I thought about it this way. If I see you sometime and I say, you know, I missed you at church Sunday. And you say, well, preacher, I was on my way and I saw this homeless man and the Holy Spirit led me to stop and talk to him. And I took him, I just felt led, I just needed to take him to buy him a meal, and I bought him a meal and I led him to Jesus. And then I took him out to the West Stanley Christian Ministries and got him some long-term help. And by the time I got done with all of that, church was over. That's cool. That's cool. You're following the Lord. But now, if I say I missed you at church Sunday, and you say, well, preacher, I got my boat and went down to the lake to my favorite fishing spot, and I told myself that if a homeless man swims out to my boat, I'm going to give him part of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm not buying it. You know, it's one thing to be led by the Lord. And the Lord will, you know, that's one of the things that got Jesus in trouble so much. He kept healing people on the Sabbath day, and you don't do that. Why not? Jesus kept associating with non-religious people, the publicans and the sinners. And you don't do that. Yes, you do. If you're led by the Lord. If you're led by the Lord. You don't get within yards of a leper, but Jesus touched them and healed them. Over in the Gospel of John, in the 5th chapter, very instructive word for us. Verse 19 of the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. If your Bible's like mine, most of this is in red. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus based his ministry on what he saw the Father doing. Somehow or another, there was a communication between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. And everything that Jesus said he did it because he first saw from the Father, this is what needed to be done. That's why it's just so amazing the way Jesus did things. You remember, he healed one of the blind men by spitting in the mud or in the ground, making some mud and sticking it on his eyes and telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. What a strange way to heal a blind man. But you know, there's another blind man he healed just by touching his eyes. But then there was another case where he touched the eyes twice. Now see, that's enough for three denominations, the one-touch Baptist, the two-touch Baptist, and the mud-in-the-eye Baptist. You know, Jesus was different because he was following the Heavenly Father. He was walking with God every day. Now, you know, he went to the synagogue on a regular basis because it tells us as his custom was. So he was doing the things that the religious people were doing, but yet he was doing them in a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father, like the Father wants you and I to have. When we're walking with God that way, you'll find that life becomes exciting. You know, people talk about, you know, it's just luck that I was at that place at that time when that great sale was on. Or wasn't it a coincidence that I saw that person at the restaurant? I hadn't seen them in 20 years. And wasn't it a coincidence that, no, if you're walking with God, it becomes a part of God's divine plan. I have a friend that's now in heaven. He and I used to get together regularly and just talk about holy coincidences. What had happened that week in our lives that were seemingly coincidences, but were God's divine appointments. Where we were brought together with people that sometimes they were people that needed us, what we could counsel or what we could give, how we could minister to them. Sometimes it was people that could minister to us when we were hurting or we had a need. But they were what we call those holy coincidences, places where we could be a blessing or places where we could be blessed, where we could give a word of encouragement or receive a word of encouragement. And you see, when you live your life every day, what are the Lord and I going to do today? Where are we going to go today? And you go about your daily business, your work, your school, your keeping at the house or whatever. But you're aware, you know, how's God involved in all of this? And you begin to touch lives and to have your life enriched because you're hearing and walking with God. And that way life is never routine, ritual, dull and boring because you're aware of the Father's presence through the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. Even when you wake up in the middle of the night and a certain person's on your mind, and you think, you know, I believe the Father wants me to pray for them right now. And you lay there and you pray for them for a few moments, or maybe longer than a few moments, depending on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people that I dream about, haven't dreamed about this person maybe in 2 years, and then all of a sudden I have a dream, and maybe I'm back in high school or whatever, and I have a dream about this particular person. Haven't seen them in forever. But you know, maybe the Lord wants me to pray for them. And I do. All of the crowds in the temple that day, and here is the Son of God in their midst, and they miss it. They could have reached out and touched the Son of God. Evidently, they were not like this, because it says Simeon took the baby in his hands. They could have held the Son of God in their arms, but they missed it. But because Simeon and Anna were walking with the Father, led by the Spirit, they had an amazing experience, each one of them, that day, that nobody else had. And God wants for you those same kind of experiences on a regular basis. You say, "Oh no, it's enough." Now wait a minute, preacher. I'm just an ordinary Christian. Well, the Bible says that when you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. If he didn't, you're not a Christian, according to Romans. When you were saved, the same Holy Spirit that was leading Simeon that day came to reside in you. And that same Holy Spirit is just as alive and powerful and wise and guiding as he was 2,000 years ago. And you can experience it. Don't let me say it. You can experience him leading you just like they did. And you will find life becomes so amazing, so wonderful. You become so aware of spiritual things, of the presence of God. That at the end of the week, you don't mentally check off some little checklist. At the end of the week, you say, "God, thank you for letting me walk with you. Thank you for blessing me through others and using me to bless others this week." Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If you don't, right now he would invite you to come into, let him come into your heart and your life and be your Savior. Be your Lord, be your Master. If you've never received him, you need to receive him today. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you're a good Christian, but it's become dull and routine and ritualistic, make a commitment. "Lord, I want to learn to walk with you in an amazing relationship like I've never had before." You can come to the altar and make that commitment. You can make it right where you are. But, you know, the desire of my heart is that all of us get excited about living in the presence of the Lord every day. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I thank you that you want us to go from ritual to relationship. And I thank you, Father, that the same Holy Spirit that was active 2,000 years ago lives in our hearts because we believe in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Father, may we learn to grow in our awareness and our obedience and our excitement in walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the invitation, if God's speaking to your heart, would you respond?